He knew that Ben had not protested when Luke alone was instructed in the Hossat Dur by the Baron Doe sages, because he had not been all that interested in learning the technique. This request was purely selfish, motivated only by Ben's curiosity. He opened his mouth to speak, to gently reprimand Ben, but Tadar Ro beat him to it.
"We will accommodate both requests," he said.
Luke looked at him, surprised. Ben tried and failed to stop a huge grin. Luke felt disquiet stir within him, but did not say anything.
"We wish you to feel that our side of this agreement is fully honored,"
Tadar Ro continued.
"Our word is dear to us. We will not willingly violate it, for to do so shows contempt for those who dwell beyond the veil. It is why we do not readily interact with other species, but,"
he added, turning to look at each of them with those deep black eyes that seemed to stare into their souls,
"we hold you to the same standard. You must do your very best to comprehend our ways, our culture, our faith. And you must use that comprehension to help us find our way back to a true path, wherever it might lead us."
"We promise to help you to the very best of our ability," Luke said, choosing his words carefully. It was entirely possible, even probable, that he and Ben wouldn't be able to figure out anything useful. Luke could not promise to solve their problem, but he could vow to give it his very best effort. Beside him, Ben nodded.
"We'll do our best, and thank you for agreeing to teach me."
Tadar Ro seemed satisfied.
"It is approaching the time when we rest. Tomorrow, at first light, we will begin the sharing. Do you wish to stay here, or return to your vessel for the night?"
"We'll return to our vessel, thank you. But a question before you go," Luke asked.
"Speak."
"There are many items here that are designed for humans. May we take them to our vessel?" The Yangti nodded.
"If they will be of use to you, of course. I would ask that you not keep them, however, as they have become..."
He floundered a little.
"They are part of who we are now."
Luke inclined his head. "I am pleased that one of my species is well thought of among the Yangti. We will return everything we take. You have my word." After Tadar Ro had departed, Luke turned to Ben. His son held up a hand.
"I know what you're gonna say, Dad, but he said it was all right."
"I didn't."
"I know, and thanks for not putting your foot down."
Luke sighed and shook his head. "You know how I feel about this, Ben, but I won't stop you from learning this if you really feel you must." Ben shifted uneasily on the makeshift mattress.
I kind of feel like I do need to, Dad. I can't explain it better than that."
Luke didn't want to think that the Force was prompting Ben to do this, but it was beginning to seem that way. He knew that there were times when a parent had to let his children make their own choices, and their own mistakes. Ben had made his choice, and the Yangti had agreed to instruct him. It was out of Luke's hands now, and he chose to let it go.
"I noticed there were a lot of data pads around here, as well as droid and ship parts,"
Luke said, rising and changing the subject.
"Let's see if we can learn anything from them."
They felt eyes upon them as they emerged from Cardass's house and headed back through the passageway to the Jade Shadow. Now that Luke knew what the situation was, the division of those who had regarded them with favor, or at least neutrality, and those who resented him made sense. It was unfortunate and awkward, but it was the situation. Luke only hoped that he and Ben would be able to find some sort of answers for them. When they returned to the Shadow, Luke began sorting through the data pads and other items they had brought with them, while Ben prepared dinner.
These are journals, he said. It looks as though what Cardass was permitted to bring back with him was just the barest fraction of what he learned.
Maybe,
Ben said.
Or maybe it's just filled with ramblings along the lines of get me away from the rock creatures with the tongues.
Luke chuckled despite himself.
One way to find out, he said.
He hooked up one of the pads to the holo receiver, and an image appeared. It was a human male, with dark hair and a short, neatly trimmed beard. He seemed hale and fit, and wore a shirt, pants, and boots.
If you're watching this, then presumably you too are a guest of the Yangtze,
he said, smiling. The voice was deep, pleasant, and very familiar.
That's Tadar Rowe's voice,
Ben said, as he came back with a tray of spice loaf sandwiches.
No, Luke said. Tadar Rowe got his voice from Georges Cardass.
He snagged a sandwich. Let's listen to what he's got to say.